WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Negotiations to wind down the Gaza war and the release of the Hamas hostages begin tomorrow with a hostage release first on the agenda. More from the BBC's Lise Doucette.
In Cairo, the negotiators will discuss what are still significant differences remaining before that ceasefire and hostage release can take place. Now, the diplomatic moves come after the Palestinian militant group Hamas responded positively, at least to parts of a 20-point peace plan put forward by President Trump.
Democrats and Republicans continue to blame one another for the government shutdown. Speaker Mike Johnson has canceled all votes this week for the House as the president threatens to fire federal workers who, for now, are furloughed. Johnson spoke about the possible firings with CBS's Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation.
I anticipate it will have to be soon because Chuck Schumer turned off the funding sources and whomever is the
chair. Do you want that as leverage?
Neither does the president. No, the president wants the government open. He's pleaded with Schumer and Hakim in person in his office to do that, and they said no.
A CBS News poll finds Americans from both parties beyond angry about the shutdown. CBS News Deputy Surveys Director Jennifer DePinto.
Many Americans don't think either party's positions are worth having a government shutdown over. Just 28% think the Democrats' positions are worth that, and just 23% say that about the Republicans' positions. And it's worth noting that only half of Democrats nationwide think their own party's positions are worth a shutdown, and even fewer Republicans say that of the GOP's position.
In Oregon, a federal judge says the Trump administration cannot send National Guard troops to Portland, at least for now. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
This isn't just a temporary restraining order. This could change, but at this point, the court is saying that she finds it's more likely than not that the president exceeded the scope of his statutory authority.
In Washington, CBS's Linda Kenyon reports farmers are about to get some much-needed help from the Trump administration.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says a significant aid package for America's soybean farmers will be announced Tuesday. The Trump administration hopes this temporary move will help farmers get through a rough patch after losing one of their biggest markets. China is now buying soybeans from Brazil and Argentina. President Trump plans to discuss the situation with China's president when the two meet on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in South Korea.
In Munich, Germany, the 190th Oktoberfest is over, wrapping up the world's largest folk festival with a traditional gun salute. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Months with the arrival of the monarchs coinciding with a significant cultural holiday in Mexico known as Dia de los Muertos that honors past loved ones. Entomology professor Karen Oberhauser with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the celebration likely predates awareness of monarch migration, but the serendipitous timing creates a meaningful connection.
Out of this chrysalis that looks kind of dead, this beautiful butterfly breaks free of the bonds of the earth and flies. So you can see why a lot of cultures see this as synonymous with rebirth, this whole process of metamorphosis.
Oberhauser says monarchs fly during the day and roost at night. The migration is tracked through citizen sightings, with roosts sometimes containing hundreds or thousands of butterflies. People can aid monarchs' migration by creating habitats of milkweed and nectar sources where the butterflies can stop along the way. Only those known as super-generation monarchs, which live significantly longer than non-migrating monarchs, make the thousands-mile journey to the mountains of Mexico. Oberhauser says they weigh about the same as a paperclip, so mortality is to be expected. She explains exact figures of migration survival are difficult to measure. Oberhauser notes monarchs primarily use day length rather than temperature as migration cues, though climate change can affect migration conditions, with hot and dry temperatures being particularly detrimental. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation. And home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and warm. Chance of a shower or a thunderstorm later this afternoon. A high right around 80. For tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms possible. Lows near 50. Partly sunny and cooler on Monday with a high of 64. Currently, it's 78.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin. For real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Oh my gosh, we got another week. Hey, if you missed it last week, we had state representative and gubernatorial candidate Francesca Hong. That was a lot of fun. She was she surprised me, and we've communicated since, and she's cool. If you want to hear that again, check out that episode along with this one. All the episodes that you want to see or hear are available at civicmedia.us, wherever you get your podcasts, all of those things. And, you know, I think you're going to want to hear this one because this is an important conversation about what's going on, because there's a lot. And I don't know what's easier, dealing with the Republicans in Congress or the dentist office that he just got back from. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan. How are you, dude? Welcome back.
I'll take the dentist anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell old Derek Van Orden we said hi, huh? Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to just start with, there's so much I want to talk about. But the biggest thing, obviously, is the shutdown. What is going on? How did we get here?
Yeah, so how we got here is, Republicans in Congress forgetting that we're a co-equal branch of government and doing whatever Donald Trump and people like Russ Vogt, the director of Office of Management and Bureau, who is the lead author of Project 2025, want. And, in December, when we had a spending agreement with them, they broke the agreement. So if you have an agreement and they don't live up to it, that makes things hard. And then in March, there was a little more controversial funding for 6 months. And they, again, didn't live up to their agreement, because what's happening is Russ Vogt has, in Project 2025, if you read parts that he authored and he's been advocating for, thinks that there's this unitary theory of the executive branch. They have the power to do anything, even if that little, bothersome constitution gets in the way.
That pesky
and
thing.
But they think they can do, that little pesky thing, you know. And when we, as Congress, which actually has Article 1, constitutional responsibility for the power of the purse, if we in a bipartisan way agree to spending, that should be the spending. And Russ Vogt, his theory that Trump has been doing, is that no, the executive can take away that funding whenever they want to. And if we don't stand up as a co-equal branch of government, which Mike Johnson, as Speaker of the House, has not done, well, then anything we do doesn't matter, because the White House can break any deal. So what they're arguing is, we've always passed continuing resolutions. Why wouldn't we this time? Well, because you've already decreased spending significantly through what we did last December, in March, and then the big ugly law. So saying that we're going to just continue where we're at after all of that is complete nonsense. So that's a big part of it. But the second part really is we're focusing on the lack of health care, what happened through that big ugly law by kicking people off of Medicaid, by taking away the tax credits for people on the Affordable Care Act, by requiring a $500 billion cut to Medicare, and by taking funds away from rural hospitals to the point that we're going to lose more rural hospitals in Wisconsin. You know, 15 million people are estimated to lose their health care because of that bill. And the only reason they did it was to give a tax break and make it permanent for people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump. It's for the wealthiest. So that's the fight. We're saying, you know, the average person already is paying too much for housing. Yeah. We're paying more for groceries because of tariffs, more for durable goods because of tariffs, more for energy because of the changes they did in that big ugly law. And now also because of that, we're going to pay more for healthcare. Look, that's the opposite of what people asked for in November, and that's all they're getting.
So if the Democrats would have caved, if they would have said, all right, hey, we'll work with you, let's do this, what would have happened? I mean, just that 15 million people would.
Weeks, yeah, we would have just, yeah, people would be losing healthcare. In fact, the real important part of the healthcare argument is in Wisconsin, I believe it's on October 17th, we're going to get the new rates for the Affordable Care Act people in Wisconsin, but also other people are getting their rates for next year. And because of those changes, there it's not just the people on the Affordable Care Act that are going to be hurt. It's everyone, because the rate's going to go up for everyone to make up for the people that lose health insurance but still go to hospitals because they're going to get care. We don't turn people down at hospitals, right? But now we all pick up that expense.
Right.
So everyone is going to see increased health costs. If you're on the Affordable Care Act, though, Mark, one example, and this is what we're waiting to see exactly on October 17th, but the Kaiser Foundation had says a 60-year-old couple in my district making $85,000 a year could see a $16,000 increase in their healthcare premiums.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
That means you're not going to have health insurance for a lot of people, right?
No.
Yeah, who's got an extra $1,200, $1,400?
Right. No, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, is there any movement, or are we just kind of stuck here?
Well, I know some Republicans privately will say they understand that this is bad for people, but not standing up to Trump or Russ Vought or anyone else. So if they continue to not find the backbone that they've been given at birth, then we've got a problem, right? And we'll see what happens. We're hoping that, you know, the Senate Dems hold strong. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard because part of Project 2025 is firing a bunch of federal employees.
Right.
And they're now going to do that and blame us,
right,
for what they do. And, you know, they had this plan anyway. It's been written in their plan, and they're executing their plan every day in all different areas of federal government. But, you know, some senators will see pain out of that. But look, they're going to do that regardless. They're just using this as an excuse. And we got to hold tough for people who are, you know, going to be really negatively hurt by those healthcare changes.
Yeah, they use every excuse they can to fire federal workers. It's ridiculous, really, you know, ever since this whole thing started. Who do you think is more responsible for this? Is it Donald Trump? Because, I mean, this is the Republican side, clearly. But is this Donald Trump or is this House Republicans?
Yeah. So, I mean, Donald Trump is at the core of all of this because they only do what he says.
Sure.
Right. So at the end of the day, this is Donald Trump calling the shots on this, Russ Vought executing on this, and the Republicans in Congress just doing what they're told.
Yeah, that's fair. And one of the things that I heard Senator Angus King said, I think it was this morning or yesterday, whenever, he said that he thinks that this gives Donald Trump more power. And I don't know, have you seen like the HUD website or USDA.gov and all of that and see the messages that's on the federal websites?
Blaming, yeah, the liberal,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, I know. It's so ridiculous.
What the hell?
Donald Trump, right? It's like a 14, like, I know, like Barron when he was 14 was writing this ridiculousness of what they're doing. So, you know, when people are saying, you know, oh, whose is it, Schumer shutdown? Is it Republican shutdown? Look, all I know, Senate, Dems, and Republicans were in session this week. The Republicans in the House canceled session as we're facing a shutdown, didn't come to Washington. Democrats did go to Washington, and we were there, and they weren't there, and the government shut down. So even just by simple arithmetic, it's pretty obvious why there's a shutdown. But, you know, it's Donald Trump ultimately, because they don't do anything he doesn't want.
So, okay, we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. Like, what is the political calculation that they have for dragging this out?
Well, I think their political calculation is we'll cave, because they did in 2013 when they tried to do this on the Affordable Care Act. The difference is it's like comparing apples and ketchup bottles,
right?
I mean, there's not a lot of similarities, because we truly were just doing a continuing resolution that continued funding. They have three times altered funding within the last year, within the last, you know, not even 12 months, and they want to lock something in that we don't support. So, you know, there's a big difference right there. But I think they can win some kind of battle, that they can fire more employees and do more parts of Project 2025 and not get blamed because they're blaming the shutdown. The thing is, bluntly, people aren't following the shutdown back home, because in Wisconsin, you're not going to feel it for a few weeks, maybe even a month, unless you're dealing with a federal agency or going to a national park. So, you know, between Saturday morning and Wednesday morning, I had 35 calls on the shutdown. And we were getting up to 500 calls a day when Trump was stealing funds from nonprofits, et cetera. And I was told today we had more calls about the flotilla outside of Gaza than we did on the government shutdown.
Jeez.
So, you know, I think they may be calculating this in a way that, you know, most people won't feel the pain. They can do other pain because of that. But if it allows us to explain the healthcare messaging and the cost of living messaging that we're trying to fix, people will understand it. And don't forget, it's not just that those increases are coming, but, you know, listen to the Republicans' ridiculous argument. You know, Mark, this is one that alone shows the amount of BS that's going on. So they're claiming that we're fighting for $1 trillion of healthcare for, their words, illegal aliens.
Yeah, right. Right.
By federal law, not one dime can go directly to someone in Medicare, Medicaid, or the Affordable Care Act, to someone who's an undocumented person, right? Because that's the terms we use, right? No one can get that money. Now, they're arguing this extremely small provision of money that goes to emergency rooms, that's about 1% of Medicaid, just one of those three programs, that can go to whoever doesn't have insurance at an emergency room. And they're arguing it could go to someone who is undocumented. But, like, that is such a long extrapolation. Yeah. And they're saying $1 trillion we're trying to do. So it doesn't pass the smell test at all of what they're saying. So we just need to call it out and point to, honestly, federal law that says those dollars can't go to someone who's not a citizen. And when you do that, pretty soon they don't have any other arguments.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a terrible, terrible argument. We got a minute left before we hit the break. What can, realistically, what can Democrats do about this? The question was that I asked before we lost you there was, what realistically can Democrats do to help get this to an end?
I think what we're doing is just trying to put the profile on healthcare. People are going to be hearing about people who are going to get these huge rate increases. People will be getting huge rate increases. And I think that's hopefully going to help us move on this. But, you know, previously it was Democratic and Republican leadership would together write a continuing resolution, very much government speak, but you'd write one together to keep things open while you're negotiating.
Right.
This time they didn't do that. And it's just, you know, we just have to really highlight what's at risk, and it is a lot of extra cost of living for people.
Does your gut tell you this is going to drag on for a bit?
God, you know, I can't predict Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem, because he's not normal. I truly don't know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, this has been just kind of a wild thing. So we're going to talk on the other side of the break here. We're sitting down with Representative Mark Pocan. We're going to talk about the health of American democracy. What's going on with that? Because, my goodness, there's been some really scary things happening in the world of our federal government. So stick around on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker, and you're listening to The Rational Revolution. We are one.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. There is currently no requirement that companies spreading sludge on crops must disclose whether it contains PFAS. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. What have we done with we are sitting down with Representative Congressman Mark Pocan from the Madison area. And I'm so glad, again, that you're here because I know this is there's a lot going on. And it's interesting, only, you know, not even a year into this administration and to be able to just pick some, you know, horrible, horrible things out of a long list of horrible things that they've done. I guess, in general, how would you describe the current health of American democracy?
Man, at risk, at risk. I won't say life support yet, but at risk. You know, watching Donald Trump try to use, you know, the tragic death of Charlie Kirk as an argument to take away free speech rights. Yeah. Watching what they're doing, you know, watching all the tech bros and everyone else come to the White House and tell the dear leader how amazing he is, you know, is kind of scary. Watching him have a Congress that allows him to do anything he wants to, including things that aren't constitutionally powers that the executive branch has. I mean, those are all things that put, you know, democracy at risk. I do think, though, on the positive side, and this is really important, and I need to get updated numbers on this, but, you know, this is an early August number, but there were 260 lawsuits filed against the Trump administration for illegal actions. We had positive adjudications in 187 of them already. Wow. And what when I talked to Josh Call, our attorney general, he works with other Democratic attorney generals around the country. They'll tell you that when they win, the Trump administration stops doing what it does. There's only been a few cases that have made it all the way to the Supreme Court. But by and large, you know, they'll do something illegal. He'll huff, he'll puff. He'll do things for the base to think that he's, you know, the Wizard of Oz, right? But he doesn't actually continue doing it because he knows it's illegal and he can't do it. That's why we think the actions they're going to try to do with the shutdown, predominantly the primarily the stealing of money and firing federal employees, we think all those are illegal. So there'll be lawsuits based on all of that, and it'll create chaos because that's what he's best at. But you know that the founders did a good job by making the legal system strong enough to live up to someone that could try to break the democratic system.
So the checks and balances are holding for now.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. How long can they, like, it's what's interesting and what not, it's not interesting. It freaking sucks, dude. Like,
yeah, I hear
you. Oh my God. You know, last time he had, you know, I still disagree with some of the people like Rex Tillerson and all that stuff, but he had people who I do think at the very core wanted to, you know, their reasoning for doing what they did was pure because they loved the country and they wanted to serve. Now, you know, you have freaking RFK Jr. He's a moron. You have Pete Hegseth, you know, and all these people who are trying, Kristi Noem, doing these things for themselves and not the country.
Yeah.
And so there's no checks and balances in his administration whatsoever. There is no adult in the room. It's just them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I generally, my first rule of thumb is, how does Donald Trump or his family benefit from it? That's generally the first thing. The second is, you know, where is this in Project 2025? Because that's their roadmap that, to be fair, we all kind of knew about, even though he denied knowing much about it. Right. You know, the amount that's been done that's directly out of there is enormous, right? And you know, it's often the co-presidency really of Stephen Miller and Russ Vogt. Stephen Miller handles all the culture war stuff. Russ Vogt handles all the fiscal, you know, Project 2025 stuff. And you know, they're the ones kind of largely calling the shots. So, you know, I think a lot of people who voted for him have you know, buyer's remorse. I know for a fact I've had you know, some people, including some manufacturers who I know voted for him, you know, over tariffs, calling up and saying how much it's hurting them. And I usually start out with a, boy, elections have consequences, don't they? And just watch them look down, you know. Yeah. And this wasn't what they thought they were signing up for. They thought they were signing up for a tax cut for rich people. They didn't know they were signing up for all the rest of this.
Well, you know, it's we have the guy here, Tony Weed, he talks about how he's there for American farmers, all while, on the other hand, you know, when he turns around, he's voting for these tariffs and just gleefully, you know, giving them whatever the hell he wants. I mean, he's putting farmers out of business. He's bankrupting them. Some are losing their freaking lives over that. This is horrible. And much of what they do is performative. You look at like Pete Hegseth, for a guy who hates pronouns, he wants to pronoun the Department of Defense. You know, please, it's the Department of War. Like, what the stuff that they do is just so bad.
If there was a secret ballot by members of Congress on tariffs, it would be 85-15, right? Wow. 85% would vote against it because they know it's bad for the economy. And in fact, maybe 90%. The problem is, one, there are no profiles in courage being awarded right now because no one will stand up to Donald Trump. And that's the real problem. So if no one does, then he's going to keep doing this. And it's the chaotic nature, you know, of the tariffs. It's not just, I mean, I actually, you know, am someone who has been a proponent of a targeted use of tariffs. If cheap steel is being dumped by China in the United States, we should tariff it to protect our steel industry as well as our auto industry and everything else, right? But when you just throw tariffs out all over to every country without rhyme or reason, without a real strategy on the percents, and then claim you're winning, you know, no, because then we pay more for groceries, we pay more for durable goods, and we pay more for so many things out of that. So, you know, again, I privately, many Republicans will tell you they don't agree with them, but there's no way they'll stand up. And they just took a vote. Every Republican from Wisconsin voted to say that we'll do – originally the vote was to say we'll do nothing until March at the earliest about tariffs. And because a few, and by few, I mean less than a handful of Republicans – complained. They then did it. They said not till January.
That's crazy. So, we got Representative Mark Pocan. We're going to talk about the assault on our very basic freedoms here coming up. This is important. Don't miss this.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News Brief. Now that Hamas has agreed to release its hostages, it's up to negotiators to figure out how and when. Secretary of State Marco Rubio on CBS's Face the Nation.
The logistics behind the release of these hostages. How do you stop the fighting? Who's going to go in and get them? You know, when are they going to be released? Where are they picked up? What are the processes for this?
House Speaker Mike Johnson blames Democrats for the continuing government shutdown.
They're using this for political games, and it is shameful, and real people are getting hurt.
A CBS News survey shows Americans hold Democrats and Republicans responsible. The Trump administration is temporarily blocked from putting the National Guard in Portland. Oregon Capitol Chronicle senior reporter Alex Baumhart says the unrest there is overstated.
These protests have remained very manageable. They've remained mostly peaceful. There is a massive chasm between the perception being broadcast from D.C. and what's actually happening here in Portland.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The crew clobbers the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting ready for game two of their playoff series with the Cubs a little after 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3 thanks to scoring 6 runs in the first inning against Cubs starter Matthew Boyd, who only lasted an inning. After the loss, Cubs manager Craig Counsell was asked.
Craig, even though he threw 58 pitches, is 3 days rest always that dicey sort of situation no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, we picked Matt Boyd to pitch. I don't know what to say. He pitched. He pitched, didn't go well. We got to make decisions. I was very comfortable putting Matt Boyd on the mound.
The Brewers' Jackson Chourio had to leave the game after running into first to beat the throw. Pat Murphy.
He's getting the MRI right now. You know, obviously it's real scary having that same hamstring injury to the same leg.
College football, the Badgers started a new quarterback, Hunter Simmons, who led the team on an opening scoring drive, but Wisconsin losing at Michigan 24-10. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and warm. Chance of a shower or a thunderstorm later this afternoon, a high right around 80. For tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms possible, lows near 50, partly sunny and cooler on Monday, with a high of 64. Currently, it's 78.
The Maggie Don Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Don Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
All right. One final segment here with Representative Mark Pocan. Again, thank you so much for being here. It really is such a joy to talk to you every time you come on. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I have to say thank you for, and I got to keep myself straight here. Like I really appreciate the work that you and our Democratic colleagues are doing, because I mean, you are fighting for myself and my family and all of us, all the listeners. You are the first line of defense, and I am very, very grateful for that. Two things I'm really concerned about, and I think you are too. Everybody should be. First is the freedom of speech. Yeah, and other basic freedoms, but especially that one. And then the second was, I'm going to play a clip here, and we're going to play a clip of Donald Trump and what he had to say at the little gathering that Pete Hegseth had.
Last month, I signed an executive order to provide training for a quick reaction force that can help quell civil disturbances. So this is going to be a big thing for the people in this room, because it's the enemy from within. We're under invasion from within. No different than a foreign enemy. And I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military.
I think I found this to be one Holy of the crap. Most unsettling Trump speeches I've ever seen.
If you look at the authority. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, I actually had some comfort in watching the generals not give in to what they expected. Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth thought it was going to be a campaign rally with a bunch of clapping seals like they do around the country. And instead, they were dignified and they sat there and listened to their commander in chief. But they didn't, pretend as if, he just juggled five balls in front of them. Right. They didn't applaud wildly and tell him how terrific he was. And they just weren't ready for that. They expected a campaign rally. And, to the military's credit, they were respectful and sat there and listened. They were summoned there, but didn't play politics. So that was a good sign, at least, of that speech.
Yeah. And then which is good. But I also want to play one more clip here. And I want to this is a little closer to your world here.
He also said at the Pentagon yesterday that he wants American cities to be used as training grounds for the American military. Is this the highest and best use of the U.S. military? And is this the right way to train them?
I don't serve in the Pentagon. I run the House of Representatives. And what we need to be talking about today is real harm that the American people are going to feel because of what Chuck Schumer is doing. Let me tell you what's going to be
Well, hold on a second.
Today.
As Speaker of the
Women,
House, do you
believe...
Let me
know,
answer the question. As Speaker
provided.
Of the House, do you believe it's appropriate to use American cities as training grounds for the U.S. military, calling those people in the American cities the enemy within? I'm asking you, as Speaker of the House, do you think that's appropriate?
I'm not going to comment on your characterization of what the president said.
Those are quotes, not a characterization.
Those are quotes, not a characterization. When is this, like, what? Holy crap.
Yeah, I have two theories. One, and they're based on actual conversations with Republicans. One is they're afraid for their political futures. Donald Trump decides he's going to take you out. Odds are 9 out of 10 in a primary, he can do that because he's got the power of the base of the Republican Party. So no one will stand up to him or question him. The second part, though, it's far worse, unfortunately, is, you know, I was told by a pretty high-ranking Democratic U.S. senator through someone who attended something he was talking to folks at, that there were about four Republican U.S. senators that would have voted against some of the cabinet secretary picks because they just weren't qualified. And they didn't vote against them because their family members had gotten threats. Mm-hmm. Not just us. I mean, I signed up for this. I get threats on a regular basis. I don't even think I get told anymore as often as we get threats, but not your kids or your spouse or anything else. And for that reason, they caved and approved the people he put out there. So that's the problem, is there's no one in the Republican Party since Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger left that'll stand up and speak the truth, because it's about either protecting their families or protecting their political careers.
But so, you know, we look at the things that have been under assault, from speech to expression. I know Trump, the administration, the education, they released something that they targeted 15 universities to say, well, you need to, like, support our agenda or we're going to cut your. And they did this. This is not the third or fourth time they've tried to do this. But I mean, with these, and now with the cities that are going to be training grounds, is he saying the quiet part out loud and, like, we're just close to a police state? What, like, is that a realistic thing? Where are we with this?
Well, yeah, you know, there's a few theories. I mean, one, I mean, he just thinks, again, he is the king, right? Which is why October 18th, there's going to be no king's rallies across the state of Wisconsin and across the country, for good reason, because, you know, we didn't elect a king. That's not our system of government. But, you know, a part of it, some people think he's getting prepared for the election next year. I am someone who thinks that because of watching the courts and having the victories against the Trump administration, that, you know, people who are worried that there won't be elections next year, I don't worry about that. I think those systems are safe. But people then think, well, maybe he's doing this to prepare, to intimidate people in certain Democratic areas about voting. And, you know, that one, you know, there could be a little more reality too, but no matter what, he thinks he has the power to do anything, and that's why we're facing these decisions.
I remember when I was a chairman of the Republican Party, we would, you know, get all these directives from the state and from the national, you know, to the biggest thing is get the poll watchers there and get the people to the polls and all these other things. And so, yeah, I mean, intimidation has always been a tactic. I can absolutely see that. You know, with governing versus culture war versus authoritarianism, each one of these little steps towards that authoritarian state, I think 2026, we're fine. I think we're going to have the elections, but then Gavin Newsom said on late night that he didn't think in 2028, he's nervous that there might not be an election if we don't do anything. Like, are now these conversations are getting loud.
Yeah, although always take the messenger a little bit into consideration.
Yes.
I think anyone who wants to be president in 2028 is saying things that they want that's red meat for the base. And I'm probably going to weigh that differently than, you know, maybe some of us who have been doing this for 30 years who aren't running for anything else other than to get something done. And we share the same fears and concerns that people who call our office have, you know, because we're living through this with everyone. And, you know, I by watching, again, the successes that we've had in the courts against the Trump administration, I think they do have some good limitations against them, thanks to our founders.
Yeah.
So that's good. But, you know, but for example, when they fire people, like they're going to do, I think, very, very soon, because, you know, under the guise of the shutdown, but in reality, it's because of Project 2025, even though there'll be lawsuits, if it doesn't get resolved for a month or two or six, how many people can just wait on the sidelines and how many people decide to leave, you know, public service and do something else because it's too volatile for their family. And that's the price that we pay. Even when he breaks the law and stops breaking the law, there's still a price that we paid along the way.
We had a woman who was high up at USAID join the show, and she said that one of the biggest lasting impacts from Trump 1.0 was the brain drain in federal agencies. And it was just that, like, they couldn't handle, or they left, or they were cut. And then to try to bring people back, you know, you have diplomats and you have career government employees that are doing it, and they understand they're not going to get the money that you could in the private sector, but they do it because they have a sense of duty. And how many of those people are gone? And you can't just get those people back.
Yeah, no question. And when you look at the number of people who left with the RIFs, which is the basically leaving service early because they were told they could lose their job, and plenty of people read Project 2025 and knew what the game, you know, the game plan was. Yeah, we lost a lot of people, and are not going to be replaced, and that is a brain drain. And then, you know, we heard from researchers at the University of Wisconsin. They're not federal employees, actually researchers across the country, who, when they started pulling some of the federal monies, NIH, NSF grants, you know, you can't stop research mid-process in some cases, and they've already spent a couple of years on this. You know, they're going to go to the private sector, or honestly, we've heard of people going to other countries to do the research because they're a researcher. That's what they're in it for. But if, you know, Donald Trump's antics cause them to not be able to do it effectively, then we've lost the people who are finding cures for cancer and for Alzheimer's and, you know, for things like that. So there is a lot at stake just by having Donald Trump be Donald Trump.
One of the good things about living here in Wisconsin, as we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan, we have, you know, you talk about how can you fight back. We have an opportunity here, I think, and I, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, off air, about potentially being able to flip two seats here in the state. We have number one moron in chief, Derek Van Orden. I don't know how does he still have a job, by the way?
Man, talk about, you know, I'll tell you, I have Democrats and Republicans ask me about him. I've had just so many. I mean, I won't go into the specifics because I just don't. There's so much. Let's just say it's a rich territory for the embarrassment that he provides every day in committee hearings. I just heard about it this week. They said when he's in classified hearings, because he serves on armed services, he asks some of the dumbest, most insulting questions, how he treats witnesses, everything
really?
Else. He thinks he's better than people, right? And then we have, you know, the people stop me on the floor and ask me if it's possible there could be a member of Congress from Wisconsin that could be intoxicated at 11 a.m.
Nice.
And I have to say, yes, it is possible that that's happening. And, you know, so many stories that just are not becoming of a member of Congress. And, you know, his most recent one is he's fighting. He wants to take away federal funding for the entire city of Eau Claire, 67,000 people. They've lost their two hospitals because of, you know, it's tough to be a rural hospital. They're going to have even more difficulty now with what's happening. And yet two alders had a social media exchange. One put a quote that Charlie Kirk said. That's all they did was put a quote. And the other one replied to it. And based on that, he thinks he should stop all federal funding to the city of Eau Claire. The village of Ellsworth in his district, a teacher said something on social media. He wants to pull the funding for the entire village of Ellsworth. He wants to pull the funding from the Mayo Clinic because someone who works for the Mayo Clinic said something that he didn't like.
That'll be popular, like, with their district. We got 10 seconds left. What can people do here to fight back?
You know what? Go to the No Kings rallies on the 18th. Show the people power we have. Thanks to what we did with Jimmy Kimmel by canceling, you know, those subscriptions, we spoke volumes.
Dude, thank you so very much. I appreciate you, and let's do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so
Love
much.
Love you, brother. Thank you, man. Take care.
Yep. Take care.
That was Mark Pocan here on The Rational Revolution. We will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Matt Nair on air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know,
that dude's cool. I like Mark Pocan. He's, let me tell you, he's the real deal. And the people of Southwest Wisconsin are really, really, really lucky to be represented by someone who cares a hell of a lot. And I think we're lucky to call him a friend of the show and to be able to call him up when things are a little rough, to talk about some of these big things. And I wish we had more time. Every freaking guest, we always leave and it's like, God, I wish we could talk longer because there's so much stuff. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was this bat bleep crazy idea about sending a quick reaction force of U.S. military troops that could be deployed into American cities, like ostensibly using cities as training grounds while also policing our own citizens. It's not just bad policy. It's dangerous. It's authoritarian. And it's fundamentally un-American. It is. It is. And the U.S. military, their whole existence is to fight foreign threats, not patrol our neighborhoods, right? And so, like, using cities as training grounds effectively turns American communities into war zones. That's what it does. And that's what he's advocating for. And in this country, we have a long history of rejecting standing armies occupying our streets. Just ask the British, how'd that go? And there's this pesky thing called the Posse Comitatus Law. That act was passed in 1878. And it makes one thing crystal clear. That makes crystal clear that the U.S. military cannot act as a domestic police force. They can't patrol your streets. They can't arrest you. They can't break up protests. That is the job of local police, not soldiers. Exception, there are exceptions to it. They're rare. But like, you know, if a governor calls the National Guard or the president invokes the Insurrection Act during an actual crisis, January 6th. But why does it matter? Because it's a guardrail against tyranny. That act draws a hard line between military power abroad and life, civilian life at home. And so that idea of a quick reaction force, we talked about that a little bit, that blows right through the Posse Comitatus Act. It's not just reckless, it's unconstitutional, and it's un-American. But again, this is Trump reading right from an authoritarian playbook. Where Putin's Russia, Orban's Hungary. And I mean, even China has the domestic security forces where internal enemies are policed by the freaking army. And here's Donald Trump openly saying the same thing. Like, that's not okay. Soldiers are not trained as police. Their job is to eliminate enemies, eliminate them, not de-escalate enemies. Deploying troops, that will risk escalating protests into violence. It is a chilling effect. Remember Kent State? And that effect is Americans are going to be afraid to exercise free speech, protest, or assemble if you see freaking tanks running down Main Street. Like, who's going to stand up to that? It's insane. Every time America has flirted with militarizing domestic life, it has ended in shame. Like so much of what Donald Trump is doing right now, that is the path that's going to be on. Shameful. It's not about safety, it's about power. Turning our own troops against us, even under this guise of like training, is a hallmark of authoritarian rule. Look at these little nuggets they're leaving us, from the assault on the freedom of speech to trying to control universities and what we learn, forcing ideas into schools, throwing tanks down the street. Like, this is stuff that is so far beyond the pale. And it was sad to hear Congressman Pocan say that there's no hero in the room on the right. There's no one standing up since Adam Kinzinger, again, friend of the show, or Liz Cheney saying, hey, time out. This is not okay. And I wanted to ask him too, and I didn't get the opportunity to, what is the line? What is the line that has to be crossed in order for them to say, all right, well, that is a bridge too far. You know, this country was founded in opposition to armies policing people. Period. And we can't let Trump normalize an idea that would shred the Constitution, destroy civil liberties, and bring us closer to that F word, fascism. They hate that. And I posted on social media, I don't know, last week, I said, you guys, if you want to stop being called fascists, stop doing fascist things. If you want us to stop using that word, stop acting like it. It's pretty simple. And it's not something that is a violent word or all this, you know. It's plain as day. In history, authoritarian regimes have followed this path. It's so clear. It's so obvious. And yet here we are going down that path. It's nuts. like you said, no Kings rally. We're going to have a talk about that here next week. We're going to talk all about that. Go to those. Make your voices heard. Hey, if you like what you heard, speaking of that, cheap plug for us. Download our show on wherever you get your podcast. Share it. Like the page. Talk about it. I'd love to hear from you. Text us. Email us. Let us know what you thought of this conversation. Thanks for hanging out on the Rational Revolution. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be able to use my freedom of speech to bring stuff your way. Thanks to Civic Media for letting me do that. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Peace!
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump is bullish on the apparent Hamas acceptance of his peace deal.
It's a great deal for Israel, and it's a great deal for everybody. And you want to get your hostages back, right? You want them back, or do you not want them back? And it's a great deal for Israel. It's a great deal for the entire Arab world, Muslim world, and world.
And while Hamas has not said yes to all the provisions, it has agreed to release its hostages. How and when that happens, well, that'll be at the top of the talks that start tomorrow in Cairo. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem, where she says some plans for Gaza residents are already taking shape.
The Saudi-owned Al Arabiya news site reported that dozens of heavy Egyptian vehicles entered Gaza and began building temporary displacement camps in the center of the strip. The report said the move is intended to ease the suffering of displaced Palestinians and to prevent them from being expelled outside Gaza. Tens of thousands